Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here today on this beautiful afternoon. I'm broadcasting from right outside of Orlando, Florida. Again, thank you for listening, and we're going to get started. We have a very interesting show for you today, informative show. We are, as I always like to remind you, to visit me at Facebook.com/NatureDoc. That's Facebook.com/NatureDoc. You can come on and go on my page there and check out some of the information that I post. You can send me a friend request. You can also follow me at Blue Zone Wellness on Twitter. That's at Blue Zone Wellness on Twitter. You can visit and read lots of free natural health information at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. That's phase3ministries.com/WordPress. PHASE, the number 3, ministries.com/WordPress. Also, BlueZoneWellness.org. BlueZoneWellness.org. Yes, sir. Earlier, I hope you've had a good week. We have an interesting show for you today. We are going to be, as we always do in our weekend national news review, we're going to talk about the new strain of bird flu. It's back, also known as chicken flu, I call it. We're going to talk about how, in our first segment, how soda consumption dramatically increases the risk of stroke and vascular disease, that is drinking soft drinks. In our first segment, we're also going to be talking about how you can lower your blood pressure significantly, in fact, to the same extent that you can lower your blood pressure with pharmaceuticals with a particular herb. And I think you'll enjoy that as well. And as we move over into our healing food segment, we're going to be talking about today the benefits, some of the great benefits of the black bean and how you can use it for health purposes and how it's one of those healing foods. We're also going to be talking about how berries, pomegranates, etc., have been shown to have the highest anti-cancer activity of any fruits. That's berries. And then we're going to pick up in our final healing supplement, healing herb segment, we are going to get to finish the vitamin B6 and B complex discussion that we didn't get an opportunity to finish last week on last week's show, talking about the importance of B6 and B complex as a whole in you and how it helps reduce inflammation in the body. Now, I mentioned that inflammation is actually a marker of several diseases. In other words, if you have that sets the internal environment give the internal environment an atmosphere or creates the atmosphere in your internal environment for disease. I think we had a bit of a problem there. If you would like to call in today, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. And also, I'd like to just remind you, if you've listened, if you don't catch the live show, you can always catch the archive, usually a few minutes after the show is over. So again, you can go to Blue Zone, blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. That's blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back in about 45 seconds or so, and we are going to jump right into our show here. Again, stay tuned. Be right back after these brief messages.
How do you feel? No, really.
How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Again, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That is, if you're listening live. Of course, if you're not listening live, if you're listening to an archive version, you'll have to wait until next week to call in with a question or comment. Also, we're up on chat, and we have the chat room open over at bluezonewellness.com, or rather blogtalkradio.com/bluezonewellness. Again, blogtalkradio.com/bluezonewellness. We're going to jump into our first. We seem to be having quite a few technical problems here today, but I think we're okay, at least for now. We're going to jump into our first article in the Week in Natural News Review, where we look at any natural news articles that have come out during the week and discuss and analyze them. And the first one is entitled "Deaths from New Bird Flu Underscore Grim Fears," report shows. And this is from NBC News, and it came out on the 12th, so a couple of days ago. And the article goes on to point out how a new report on three of the first patients in China to contract a novel strain of the bird flu. And the article is going to talk about how U.S. officials are worried about a grim scenario that includes severe illness with pneumonia, septic shock, brain damage, as well as multi-organ failure. And the article is going to say that all three of the patients that they are talking about here died, according to a report by a group of Chinese scientists in the New England Journal of Medicine. And quoting the doctors from the article, the New England Journal of Medicine, this article goes on to say, quote, "It is possible that these severely ill patients represent the tip of the iceberg." And they are quoting Dr. Timothy Yukai and Dr. Nancy Cox, both of the influenza division of the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, in a prospective piece accompanying the article. So this is not the article itself, but this is in a prospective piece accompanying the article that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And this article goes on to point out how the report chronicled the early days of an outbreak of a new influenza A virus, H7N9. Which has never before been seen in humans, according to this article. And so far, it has affected at least 43 people in four different Chinese provinces and has killed 11 in the past 60 days, or the past 2 months, according to the Chinese authorities. The patients included, according to this article, men ages 87 and 27, both from Shanghai, and a 35-year-old woman from Anhui. All had pre-existing health conditions and two have been exposed to chickens at live poultry markets in the previous week. They became ill between February 18th and March 23rd and died between March 4th and April 9th of severe complications, according to the report. This article goes on to say further that the virus, which had been traced to a resort reassortment rather of genes from the wild birds in East Asia and chickens in East China raises many, quote, urgent questions and global public concerns, the U.S. researchers wrote concerning this. This article goes on to say that it's particularly concerning because the virus clearly has the potential to cause severe disease, and it has genetic characteristics that suggest that it might be better adapted rather than other bird flu strains to infect mammals, including humans. And people have no resistance to it, according to the U.S. According to this article, as relayed by U.S. scientists. This article goes on to say further that the virus doesn't make birds sick, so it may spread widely and remain undetected until people become sick. In addition, it says previous vaccines developed to fight other H7 strains did not invoke strong immune response in humans. The U.S. And also that even so, the researchers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said they received an isolate of the virus from China on Thursday and were continuing to rush efforts to create a vaccine, a process they said that could take several months. The article went on to say further that scientists are expected to start growing more of the virus to share for use in several ways, including not only developing a vaccine, but also creating a blood test that can detect previous human immune system protection against the virus and testing to see whether the virus remains susceptible to antiviral drugs. Finally, it says CDC officials also will use it to create a diagnostic test that could be used to detect infection in travelers who return to the U.S. from China with symptoms of flu or those who've been in contact with someone who's been sick. So basically, the virus has come back, apparently, and it seems to be a lot more devastating. And also, no current vaccines, apparently. Okay, we seem to be back on air now. We're having some serious technical difficulties here for some reason today. Nevertheless, this bird flu is back. And one of the things that you all don't often see connected when they're in the news reports, this was one of the few, they typically call it the bird flu, notwithstanding that it's connected pretty much predominantly with chickens, at least those type of birds that are brought into contact with humans. But you have to realize that by calling it the chicken flu, it would hurt the chicken industry. And people would become fearful, and they would begin to stay away from chicken. And so as opposed to calling it the chicken flu, they call it the bird flu. And even though, as I pointed out in this article, the article talked about how the people who have been brought into contact with it mainly seem to have gotten it after being in the vicinity of poultry. And so, and not some other birds that may have had it. And so instead of referring to it as the chicken flu for fear of hurting profits, they refer to it as bird flu. You listen to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Again, when we talk about this, this is one of the reasons why we also advocate eating a plant-based diet, notwithstanding the other nutritional benefits of a plant-based diet, but also because the animal kingdom is becoming more and more, is contracting more and more diseases. And many of our diseases that we're contracting, we're getting it from the animals that we're eating. And some will argue that, yeah, well, maybe we can pick up things from fruits and vegetables. This is true. If you're not watching your fruits and vegetables appropriately and et cetera. But no matter how well you may wash a piece of chicken that's infected or whatnot, it's a lot more problematic. Many of the animals will have cancer all through their bodies. They may cut the cancer out and then put the remainder of the meat, send the remainder of the meat through. And if you understand cancer is in the blood. And so you eat the flesh, and before you know it, years down the road or maybe not so many years down the road, you go to find out to the doctor to be diagnosed with cancer and never being able to trace that you might have contracted the virus in the flesh that you eat and planted the seeds in your system. Again, this is just one of the issues, and you have mad cow disease and some of the other things. So you really increase your likelihood of getting sick by eating flesh. Even if there were no diseases, flesh has never been the best food. And so this is why I always advocate, if you're not on a plant-based diet, it's wise to start taking steps to get there. It's an overall health of your diet. If you're eating a balanced diet, now some people will begin to eat, become a vegetarian or a vegan, but they would not have a varied diet, and they will end up being nutritionally deficient, which is a problem. So, as long as you eat a varied diet, copious amounts of different foods, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains, eating in harmony with the rainbow, as I always say here on Blue Zone Wellness, and following those laws of health that the Creator has given us. Trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. These laws of health cannot be improved upon. You heard me talk about them before. You hear me talk about them again. Now we're going to move on to our second article, and this our first segment, the Week in Natural News Review. And this is an article this is one that I was intending to give a couple of weeks back, but I ended up skipping it, and then we ran out of time. This is called, this is from naturalnews.com, and it was entitled, Soda Consumption Dramatically Increases Risk of Stroke and Vascular Disease. And this article talks about how by drinking soft drinks, we can actually dramatically increase the likelihood that we will have a stroke or a heart attack, and or just vascular disease overall. And the article is going to point out how Americans drink more than 216 liters of carbonated soft drinks every year. And not only that, this number continues to increase, and it's increasing at an alarming rate. And many people, the article points out, use low-calorie diet soda in a futile effort to lose weight, yet find that these drinks have the opposite effect, leading them to be overweight or even obese. Not only that, the article points out, rightly so, that the high acid content in most carbonated beverages leaches the calcium and other critical nutrients from the bone and the tissues, and hereby significantly increases your risk for disease over the years. So think about it for a moment. If you're, especially a lot of young people, they like to go and like to drink Coke and Sprite and Big Gulp and this and this juice. And we talked last week about the fruit juices and the high amount of high fructose corn syrup, and these carbonated drinks are even worse because not only do they have the sugar, but they have some of the other carbonation in them and some of the other chemicals that they put in them. And so over time, young people, because they don't feel the results so early, they drink a lot of these sodas and Gatorade and all these different. We're talking primarily now about soft drinks. But they drink all of these things, and essentially they have problems, big problems. And according, in line with this study, it says researchers from Cleveland Clinic's Wellness Institute and Harvard University have reported the result of a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, the first to examine the effect of soft drink or sodas effect on stroke risk and vascular diseases. The article says that past studies have linked sugar-sweetened beverage consumption with weight gain, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, gout, and coronary artery disease. We talked about that last week in terms of fruit juices, commercial fruit juices, and how weight gain and diabetes and hypertension and high cholesterol and gout and coronary artery disease all are connected with the consumption of these beverages. And now this particular study, again, a combined study between the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute and Harvard University, did this study, and they reported it in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and they reported how the current research has implicated diet soft drink consumption with increased disease risk and weight gain due to the depletion of the essential minerals. Now, again, as a naturopathic doctor, one of the things that we look at and we believe is that the great majority, if not all, practically all sickness can be directly traced back to severe, long, prolonged deficiencies of nutrients, be they vitamins, minerals, amino acids, etc. If the body has the necessary nutrients, it will be well. It can stay healthy. Sickness is a disease or dis-ease, and almost 100% of the time, it can be traced back to an internal environment that has been created within your body that has the ability to consume your nutrients, consume your zinc and your vitamin B, your B complex vitamins and this and amino acids or whatnot. And so, and we call them your buffering minerals, the minerals in your body to basically help keep your pH from going into acid mode and staying there. And if you get into a situation where you're deficient in your nutrients for a long amount of time, a prolonged amount of time, then you're going to have a situation where you will ultimately get sick. And in terms of talking about how this relates to soft drinks, this is one of the study, this combined study by Harvard and the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute. They found that this is the exact thing that soft drinks or sodas do to the body. According to this article, the lead study author, Dr. Adam Bernstein, noted, quote, soda remains the largest source of added sugar in the diet. What we're beginning to understand is that regular intake of these beverages sets off a chain reaction in the body that can potentially lead to many diseases, including stroke. So here we're beginning to find out that because of the large amount of sugar, added sugar in the diet, combined with the other chemicals in soft drinks or sodas, carbonated drinks, and not only that, you combine that to our other foods that we're consuming, the GMO foods, and we're not getting exercise, and we're not drinking lots of fresh, pure water, and we're stressed out live. The body is under continual and consistent stress, and when the body is under continual and consistent stress, it's going to cause the blood and the other bodily fluids to go into an acid pH. And this acid pH, the body trying to correct for this or compensate for this, is going to try to use its minerals to keep the body in an alkaline state, a little bit more alkaline than acid. But eventually, you will consume all of your buffering minerals, and the body will then, inflammation will set in, and then if it's not corrected, disease will follow. And so this is one of the things that's happening with the soft drinks. And this article goes on to point out, it says researchers analyzed soda consumption among 43,371 men and 84,085 women over a time span of about 30 years. And during that time, 2,938 strokes were demonstrated in the women, while 1,416 strokes were documented in men. The article goes on to say further that this study emphasizes the inherent risk involved with consumption of sugar-sweetened or non-calorie soft drinks. Sweetened drinks contain high levels of glucose that lead to a rapid increase in blood glucose as well as insulin. And over time, this results in glucose intolerance, insulin resistance, and systemic inflammation. Low and no-calorie carbonated beverages contain artificial sweeteners, including aspartame, which is also known to overstimulate and excite brain neurons, resulting in cellular death. So here we're talking about the capacity of soft drinks to increase the likelihood of stroke and vascular disease. And now we also find out, because of some of the chemicals and artificial sweeteners like aspartame that are also put into these soft drinks, aspartame is known to overstimulate and excite brain neurons, resulting in cellular death, hereby killing brain cells. So here we see how there are many, many dangers that are connected with these foods and these soft drinks that many times we're not being told, and other times we're not really, sometimes we know, but we just don't follow it. And a couple of weeks ago, we did a show when we talked about the number, I think it was the 11 things that they hope that you never find out that they put into your foods. And we talked about specific foods and how they specifically affect different organs. And before you know it, you have kidney disease or liver disease or whatever disease, and you're not realizing that it was that direct result of the continual consumption of certain foods. The article went on to say further that further artificial sweeteners of all types, trick our digestive chemistry and hormone balance. Again, we're still in our first segment, the Week in Natural News Review, where we're looking at a few articles that came out during the week and discussing and analyzing them. I'm going to go ahead and move to our next article in this first segment. We have four articles today to talk about. Then we'll flip over to our healing food segment, and in that segment we will be discussing again the benefit of black beans and how black beans are very, very beneficial and have been very, very beneficial to help protect against certain type of cancers. And we're also going to talk about in that next segment the number one fruit, which are berries, and we're going to talk about different types of berries and fruit that help fight the body, help fight off free radicals. Now, in the last article in this first segment, is we're going to talk about the herb that actually can lower your blood pressure, an article that came out this week from naturalnews.com that can actually lower your blood pressure to the same extent as blood pressure medication can. And this article was published on the 12th of this month. And the particular herb that we're going to be talking about here is his hibiscus tea. And the article points out how hibiscus tea can lower your blood pressure just as effectively as pharmaceutical drugs, as shown by numerous studies. Now, this article says further that an herbal tea, tisane, made from hibiscus flowers, is a popular beverage around the world, and the ruby-colored tangy drink is known as Jamaica in Mexico and is the primary ingredient in red zinger tea. And the author goes on to say, quoting Diane L. McKay of Tufts University, she says, most of the commercial herbal tea blends in the United States contain hibiscus. And this is, again, Diane L. McKay of Tufts University, and she has researched the blood pressure reducing benefits of the flower hibiscus. Now, hibiscus, as he points out in this article, has a long history of use as a blood pressure treatment in many African as well as many Asian traditional medical systems. In fact, in the late 1990s, Iranian researchers actually clinically demonstrated the effectiveness of this treatment, that is, using hibiscus for blood pressure. In fact, what they did in their study, they assigned 54 adults with high blood pressure to drink 10 ounces of either hibiscus tea or black tea once a day for 12 days. That's just under two weeks. And they found that while blood pressure decreased in both groups, it decreased significantly more in the hibiscus group, a total of 10%. Now, that's a pretty significant drop for 2 weeks, actually a little bit less than 2 weeks, by drinking the tea every day, just a cup of the tea every day, and they were found to have a 10-point drop their blood pressure. It didn't say in the study here in this particular article if it was for the diastolic or the systolic. The article goes on further to point out that this was followed by a pair of studies that compared with hibiscus tea directly to, or rather, that compared hibiscus tea directly to pharmaceutical blood pressure drugs. And in 2004, citing these studies, the article points out how Mexican researchers assigned 75 adults with high blood pressure to take either 25 milligrams of the drug Cetaphil twice per day or to drink tea made from 10 grams or roughly 5 teaspoons of crushed dry hibiscus once per day. After 4 weeks, blood pressure had dropped by 11% in both groups. So the study participants receive the same benefit from taking hibiscus as from taking the drug. And again, in 2007, the researchers conducted a follow-up study, the same researchers, this time using the blood pressure drug lisinopril as a comparison. Once again, hibiscus performed comparably to the drug, reducing blood pressure in hypertension patients an average of 12% compared with 15% for lisinopril. And I would say, I wonder if they made any other changes outside of just drinking the tea. I suspect if they didn't, if they would have added those laws of health that we talk about here on Blue Zone Wellness in combination to taking the tea, I suspect that they would have had even greater drops in their blood pressure. The article goes on to point out further that in a randomized double-blind study published in the Journal of Nutrition in 2010, McKay and colleagues, again, I cited McKay earlier, the article cited her earlier, she's from Tufts University, and her colleagues assigned 65 adults between the ages of 30 and 70, all of them suffering from either pre-hypertension or mild hypertension, to drink 240 milliliters of either hibiscus tea or a placebo 3 times per day. None of the participants were taking any blood pressure drugs at all in this particular study. And after 6 weeks, the systolic blood pressure, that's the one on the top, dropped 7 points in the hibiscus group compared with only 1 point in the placebo group. Once again, the improvement seen was comparable to that provided by pharmaceutical drugs. The article goes on to quote the researcher saying, quote, "These results suggest daily consumption of hibiscus tea in an amount readily incorporated into the diet lowers blood pressure in pre- and mildly hypertensive adults and may prove an effective component of the dietary changes recommended for people with these conditions." The researcher said further, "Even small changes in blood pressure when maintained over time will reduce the risk of stroke and heart attack." And the article says at the end that researchers remain unsure exactly how hibiscus acts to lower blood pressure, but they have suggested several mechanisms. Some studies suggest that hibiscus opens the arteries, slows the release of blood vessel constricting hormones, and acts as a diuretic. It has also been shown to have an antioxidant effect in the body and to boost the immune system. So if you or a loved one has hypertension, consistent hypertension, the first thing I would suggest is you need to watch your stress level. Many times, if you watch your stress level, you don't have to worry about your blood pressure level. Some people, that's the problem. And some people, because they're stressed, when they're stressed, their arteries and the vessels constrict, and the pressure upon the wall of the vessels, of course, is increased because of continual stressing. Another thing to watch if you or a loved one have high blood pressure is the amount of water that you're consuming. Majority of people are dehydrated. And just a note, if you are thirsty, you're dehydrated. If you get to the point that you feel thirsty, you're already dehydrated. So you should drink enough water to keep from getting thirsty. Also, your diet, your overall diet and exercise. Exercise has the capacity to significantly reduce blood pressure. The exercise, of course, takes stress off of the body. So these are some things that you can do that are free or basically free. These are the things that you should do first if you're having high blood pressure issues. Then you need to look at your diet. Are you consuming large amounts of flesh foods? Are you eating foods that are dairy-based? And these foods contribute to your blood pressure going up higher. Look at those things, and then usually if you do those things, in most cases your blood pressure will come down. And I would also suggest, just if you're starting to do those things, to add the hibiscus tea. You've also heard me mention cayenne pepper and lemon juice, or lemon water, rather. Or you can also add hibiscus. But we can see from the studies here, the studies have been consistently true with respect to, we're getting consistent results from using hibiscus tea and drinking it. And so, if you have someone that has high blood pressure, hypertension, or if you have high blood pressure / hypertension, then you need to take those basic steps. And in most cases, your blood pressure will come down. The body will readjust. If you're making the hibiscus tea at home, the dosage recommendation actually varies from 1 to 5 teaspoons steeped for about 10 minutes in a cup of boiling water. And you will typically get pretty good benefits, like I said before, if you would do that. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to pivot over to our healing foods section. And in healing foods, we're going to talk a little bit about how berries, pomegranates, et cetera, are actually the highest anti-cancer activity of any fruits. In fact, there have been numerous studies that have confirmed that berries are the very best food to maximize your intake for antioxidants. And these antioxidants actually fight off free radicals. The free radicals can go around and they can cause problems within the body. they can over time they can injure organs. They're the things that can cause you to age more quickly than necessary. Whereas you have antioxidants, they can actually slow your aging down, both internally and externally. And so this is one of the reasons why you hear me talk about eating copious amounts of fresh fruits, vegetables, plant-based diet, because you're getting a lot of antioxidants in your body when you eat that way. And so again, these antioxidants, they actually act a part as well by cleansing the body of these free radicals. And these free radicals can even cause cell and DNA damage that leads to different effects of aging, as I said before, as well as many chronic diseases, including cancer and diabetes, as well as heart disease. Now, there was a study published in the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry back in 2004, and in this study, they analyzed the antioxidant levels of more than 100 separate foods, including fruits, vegetables, bread, cereals, nuts, and spices. And the researchers found that berries were by far the most cost-effective way of eating or consuming antioxidants. Among all the fruits that they analyzed, cranberries, blueberries, and blackberries topped the list for antioxidant content. So out of the ones that they looked at in this study, they found, again, that cranberries, blueberries, and blackberries were at the top of the list for amounts of antioxidant levels. And basically, they found that just a single cup a day of berries is able to provide the recommended daily intake of antioxidants for the purposes of fighting disease. So just a cup. The top-ranking fruits they found after the berries were peaches, then mangoes, and melons. And again, a similar study was conducted in 2008 by researchers from Cornell University. And in contrast to the 2004 study, the melons were actually found to have the lowest antioxidant activity among fruits, along with bananas. Now, again, they're just looking at the antioxidant activity. Each fruit and vegetable, some is high in others in particular phytonutrients than others are. So, for instance, the banana, as we know, is high in potassium. That doesn't mean that it has the same amount of antioxidants as, say, the berries do. That doesn't mean that you should throw the banana out and just eat berries. You should eat it, as I said earlier, you should eat a wide variety. The studies just give us information with which to make decisions upon. And so, again, the berries, including blackberries, raspberries, as well as blueberries, scored in this 2008 study at the very top of the list, and with wild blueberries found to be the most potent of all. Also, pomegranates rank equal to the berries in their antioxidant content. So if we take into account which fruits and vegetables are most commonly eaten, apples and strawberries are found to contribute the most antioxidants in the U.S. diet. So in the U.S. diet, of the fruits that's eaten the most often is basically, again, apples and strawberries. And amongst the fruit that we eat here in the U.S. most frequently, a lot of times we eat apples, we eat strawberries, bananas, grapes, etc. Of the ones that they tested, they found of the ones most commonly eaten here in the U.S., apples and strawberries were found to contribute the most to antioxidants. And in this particular study, one of the researchers said, quote, "Increasing fruit consumption is a local strategy to increase antioxidant intake and decreases oxidative stress and may actually lead to reduced risk of cancer." In the natural health field, we know this to be true. The more antioxidants you can get into the body, of course, you're going to reduce the likelihood of disease. You're going to reduce the likelihood of cancer. You're going to equalize the pH balance in the body, or normalize it, rather. And by doing so, you're going to decrease the likelihood of inflammation. Hence, you're going to decrease the likelihood of disease. So, again, when you hear me talk about eating in harmony or eating as closely as possible, in line with the colors of the rainbow, just remember, if you do that, and eating Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, eating as closely to the garden as possible and eating as frequently as possible in line with the colors of the rainbow, this will provide you with good health. Now, outside of that, the first study I cited was a 2004 study. The next one I cited was a 2008 study. And now it was a 2010 study, which was the most comprehensive review of foods with antioxidant content to date. And this was published in the Nutrition Journal. Again, it was conducted in 2010. And analysis of this particular study, they analyzed more than 3,100 foods, beverages, herbs, spices, and dietary supplements. And it was conducted by researchers from the Harvard School of Public Health, Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University, the University of Minnesota, the Norwegian Institute for Agricultural and Environmental Research, the University of Oslo, a Aarhus University College in Norway, and Akita University Graduate College of Medicine in Japan. And in this effort, they found that the antioxidant content varied several thousand fold among the different products tested. And the products with the highest antioxidant concentrations were herbs, spices, and dietary supplements, although these products are typically consumed in much smaller quantities than regular food. So in other words, most people eat, in terms of quantity, they eat more food than they take supplements or take herbs, etc. But in more concentrated amounts, the antioxidant concentrations were highest in herbs, spices, and dietary supplements. And among the food and beverage products, the highest antioxidant concentrations were found in berries, fruits, nuts, chocolate, and vegetables. And the study pointed out further that overall, the researchers found that plant-based foods were significantly higher in antioxidants than animal-based foods. Again, this is one of the reasons that you hear me talk about a plant-based diet. The research backs us, practical clinical practice backs it. Eating animal, the flesh of animals, has never been the wisest thing to do, and it's even less wise now if you want to be in health. And finally, in this particular study, also talked about how the highest antioxidant content was found in berries, not commonly eaten in the West. And they named some typical berries like Indian gooseberry and the dog rose and bilberries and some other berries where they were found to have very, very high contents of antioxidants. And so again, though, if you eat large quantities or copious amounts, without being gluttonous, of course, of fruits and vegetables, and you've heard me say this before, whenever you eat your meal, always eat raw food with your meal to take some of the pressure and take some of the burden off of your pancreas, because live food, fresh fruit, vegetables, live food has enzymes, and the enzymes will help in the breaking down of the food that you eat. Your pancreas actually has to produce enzymes. This is one of the bad things about eating cooked food, where all of the enzymes have been destroyed. The enzymes are dead. Now there are a greater burden has been placed upon your pancreas to produce the particular enzymes that particular foods need to be broken down. And given the diet that we have, the overall burden that we already place on our body, we really don't need any more of that burden upon our body. Now I'm going to take a quick break, probably about a 30-second break, and I'm going to come back and we're going to deal with how beneficial black beans are, and then we're going to also pivot over into our herbal supplement, our last segment, which is our Ealing Herb, Ealing Supplement segment. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'll be back in just a moment.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy, and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Just like to remind you, you can visit me at facebook.com/naturedoc. Send me a friend request. You can also follow me on Twitter, Blue Zone, at Blue Zone Wellness. And be sure to visit bluezonewellness.org and phase3ministries.com for loads of free information. Again, we're still in our second segment, in the segment where we talk about a healing food. Before the break, we were talking about the benefit of berries and the high level of antioxidants that are contained in berries and some of the other foods. And we're going to talk a little bit about the black bean. Again, lots of people like beans and rice and red beans and rice or black beans and rice or beans or whatever. But also, since we're talking about healing foods, beans are very healing as well. And research has shown that consuming cooked black beans can actually lead to lowered risk and incidence, actually, of breast, colon, liver, lung, and prostate cancers. And according to the scientists, they say that the exact mechanism of this phenomenon is unknown, but it is suspected that the phytochemicals of black beans, like the flavonoids and the tannins and the phytic acid and the phytosterols, may actually be responsible for the black beans having their anti-cancer properties. But if you think about that for a moment, that's pretty significant, that the lowly black bean would actually have the capacity to lead to lower risk of breast cancer, colon cancer, liver cancer, lung, and prostate cancers. And in fact, in Brazil, where more black beans are grown than any other country in the world, the beans have actually been given an exclusive place on the Brazilian food pyramid. They are actually viewed as being so vital to their nation's health that the country's food pyramid recommends that 1/2 cup of beans be consumed at least once every day. And some of the recent research linking bean intake to lower risk of type 2 diabetes, as well as various types of cardiovascular disease and several types of cancer, were some of the key factors used by the Brazilian government in establishing their bean intake recommendations. So basically the government over there looked and said, well, listen, we're looking at some of the research that has come out and showing how beans can actually help lower the risk of type 2 diabetes, how it can actually also help various types of cardiovascular disease, and also several types of cancer that I noted earlier. And so they began to make recommendations of why their people should, based upon these facts and studies, that they begin to make recommendations that their citizens eat at least one half cup every day of beans in some form. Not only that, the research has also shown that black beans are actually some of the most phytonutrient condensed foods that you can purchase or that you can grow even. And so you have phytonutrients like lycopene and capsaicin, which are actually chemicals that actually help protect plants from germs and fungi and bugs. In fact, some people that grow their own food have small gardens. They will actually many times mix the water with cayenne pepper or capsaicin, which is here, capsaicin, and will spray it on their plants to help keep certain types of bugs away from destroying and eating the plants. And so it's very interesting that these same phytonutrients can actually help protect the body from some of these things that may attack the body internally, the same way that these rodents can attack plants and bugs and whatnot. Not only that, the nutrients associated with the black beans are pretty interesting to look at. If you take just the values in 1 cup of these cooked beans, you have 64% of folate, about almost 60% of fiber. You have tryptophan, 56%, which is amino acid. Manganese, about 38%. Protein, about 30%. People say, well, if you don't eat If you don't eat flesh, where do you get your protein from? I mean, just one cup of cooked beans, black beans, you're getting 30% of protein. They have about 30% magnesium. You get about 28% of vitamin B1. You get 24% of phosphorus. You got 20% of iron. So here you have, this is just some of the nutrients that are contained in black beans. And so a lot of people have this idea that if you don't eat flesh, you know, and if you're eating the diet that we advocate here, where it's fruits, nuts, vegetables, and grains, which was the original diet given by the Creator, and we would have to believe that it is the optimum and the elite diet for overall health. And as a practitioner, I know that to be true. Seen it over and over again, seen the benefits of it over and over again. I've seen sick people become well. I've seen well people become healthier. And it's just, you can't improve upon it, upon that diet. It is the divine diet. So that is that concludes our segment of healing foods. Now we'll go over in these last 8 minutes or so, and we're going to go into our healing herb, healing supplement segment, which is our final segment. And we had begun to talk about that a little bit last week, but we ran out of time. And so I'll back up a little bit just to give a brief review. And we were talking about how low vitamin B increases inflammation and actually causes oxidative stress. But there are foods that you can eat to actually boost your levels. And so last week I cited how researchers at Tufts University in Boston, Massachusetts, conducted a study entitled The Association of Vitamin B6 Status with Inflammation, Oxidative Stress, and Chronic Inflammatory Conditions, the Boston Puerto Rican Health Study. And it was called a Boston Puerto Rican study because the researchers used 1,205 ethnic Puerto Rican elders living in the Boston area who exhibit a higher rate of depression and cognitive impairment, as well as hypertension, obesity, and type 2 diabetes than non-Hispanic or Hispanic groups. And so the vitamin B6 deficiency, vitamin B6 deficiency had already been associated by observing, or had rather been loosely associated with cardiovascular diseases, by deserving B6 concentrations among those who had these issues. But the medical field had actually basically ignored the result, and they basically looked more at homocysteine levels as a major factor for cardiovascular disease. And so in this particular study, they were looking at this, and so they were looking at, okay, is it homocysteine or the vitamin B6 deficiency? The Boston researchers noted that DNA oxidative markers remained high from lower B6 concentrations even after homocysteine was neutralized. So basically, they were looking at the homocysteine saying, okay, listen, we think the problems are caused by homocysteine levels. So when the homocysteine levels was neutralized, the problem was still there. So they decided that low vitamin B6 concentrations are actually associated with inflammation and oxidative stress by lowering glutathione, which is an amino acid, protective antioxidant properties, rather. So vitamin B6 is needed to help produce sufficient cysteine as a glutathione precursor. So you need the cysteine as a precursor to glutathione, and if you don't get that, then you're going to have a problem with the glutathione, and then that leads to other issues and other problems. So this is one of the things that we talk about. The body is not, no part of the body it works in a vacuum. Everything that happens in the body affects something else. And this is the philosophy of the natural practitioner. This is the philosophy of those who see the body in terms of holistic health. Says, okay, we realize that consistent deprivation of any mineral or vitamin or amino acid or group of minerals, vitamins, or amino acids will at length lead to an abnormality or disease or some sickness of some sort. And so in this particular study from Tufts University in Boston, and trying to look at the benefits of B6 and its association to inflammation in the body, not only B6, but the entire B-complex vitamins, because I've talked about it before when we were going through the different benefits and of the different vitamins and minerals that I've been discussing, how to recognize deficiencies, etc. We talked about the B vitamins and their importance. In fact, vitamin B6 is one of the 8 B vitamins of the B complex, and each one has an independent but coexisting function. So vitamin B6 is involved with metabolizing your amino acids as well as the synthesis of neurotransmitters, serotonin or norepinephrine, and in addition to your sleep hormone, melatonin. So B6 is important to these particular neurotransmitters. So of course, if you are low in B6, it's going to affect these other issues. Neurotransmitters. Vitamin B6 also helps your vitamin B12 produce red blood cells. So it also manages to convert non-carbohydrate sources such as protein and lipids into glucose for cellular and metabolic energy. So you can see how being deficient in B6 alone can bring problems. So, and just some food that are high in B6 and as well as other B vitamins include like brewer's yeast, bee pollen, bell peppers, mushrooms, turnip greens, summer squash, as well as pretty much any cruciferous vegetables such as kale, broccoli, and cauliflower. So you should eat copious amounts of these, and you may even need to take a B-complex supplement if you're not eating the way that you should and exercising, etc. But if you're eating copious amounts of these foods, and especially if these foods are either you're growing them yourself or you're buying them organic, you're really getting a powerhouse of the nutrients that you need. If you're supplementing with B6 alone, you should not exceed more than about 200 milligrams, while 100 milligrams is usually adequate. And if you're eating a varied diet, you should be able to do that for a short amount of time, eat copious amounts of the foods that I mentioned, and it not be a problem. And that's why any high-dose single B vitamin should always include most or all of the other B vitamins. Begin because they work in a synergistic manner. And so we are about out of time. And remember your B vitamins, though. Remember B6. Remember that it plays very important parts. It plays a very important part with some of your neurotransmitters, serotonin, melatonin, or as well as it helps your B12. So again, I'm out of time. We have about a minute left. I want to remind you, if you didn't catch all of this show, you came in the middle, you can go back. The replay will be available probably maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes tops. And you can listen then. Send a link to your friends or your loved ones. Let them know that their health is their greatest blessing here on earth. Again, be sure to join me next week, same time, at BlueZoneWellness.org from 4 to 5 p.m. Feel free also to download these copies to your computer, burn copies to CDs, and send them to your friends and loved ones. Health, give them the gift of health. Again, thank you for listening. You have a blessed remainder of the day.